this is the bit before the theme music, and what a sorry state of affairs. So I recorded it last night, but I didn't put it through my microphone. I put it through the microphone on the computer, so it sounded awful. So I had to start again. Then I went to bed. Then I woke up, and I hadn't saved it, had I? So this is me doing my podcast for the third time. Third time's a charm, they say. I'm not so sure. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it says team, a trusty old Red Rider carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to an episode of the Total Christmas Podcast. It's so good to have you here. How are you? How have you been? How was your week or your 2 weeks? Do you want to do the interactive bit? That was it. We just did it. Hope you enjoyed it. I've got a packed show, but like I said earlier, this is the third time I'm recording it, so I'm going to have to condense it because I'm not going to have time to edit it. So I just want to say that I got an email from my mate Travis. I can't tell you his surname because when he emailed me last year, he said, don't tell people my surname. I'm embarrassed that I'm even contacting you. Your podcast is awful, but I still want to give some input. So I can't give you his surname, but Travis sent me some questions for Jack Ask. And he also mentioned that his favourite parts of the show are Jack Ask, which is interesting, because the episode that is named episode whatever number, Jack Ask, where someone asked me a question, it was like a dilemma, and I solved it for them in a fantastic way, I might add, that is the second least downloaded episode I've had in all my 3 years of doing this. Yeah, fact. He likes Jack Ask and he likes What the Dickens, so I've got a little twist on What the Dickens this week. And also, he used to love the Yule Log, so I'm doing a Yule Log as well. So yeah, quite a lot in this episode, plus the usual stuff. So yeah, without further ado, we're going to start with Jack Ask. I can't remember if there's a jingle for Jack Ask. I don't know if I recorded one or not. I'm going to have to fish through my files. If I did, there's going to be a jingle coming up now. If I didn't, you don't get a jingle. Let's see what happens. Was there a jingle just then? I don't know. Anyway, this is Jack Ask. I've been sent 3 questions by Travis, and I'm going to deal with the first one of them today, and then in the next episode, I'll deal with the second one, and in the episode after that, I'll deal with the third. That's how things work, kids. So, this is the dilemma or the question that Travis has sent me. Are the Harry Potter movies, where there is a Christmas ball, considered Christmas movies? My girlfriend says yes, and I say no. Even though I love those scenes and agree they feel very festive, it does not make the whole movie a Christmas movie. On that note, have you seen The Green Book? It stars Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen, and its final act takes place on Christmas Eve, and it's a touching send-off to a unique and somewhat true story. It's not a Christmas movie, but I do recommend it. I've seen Green Book and I really liked it. It was fantastic. And I'd forgotten that it ended on Christmas Day, but of course it does, because they will have Christmas dinner together, don't they? Yeah, well spotted. I wouldn't class it as a Christmas movie, that one, no, sadly. Right, let's cut to the chase about the Harry Potter movies. And it's not just the Christmas ball scenes, is it? There's the first movie, the Philosopher's Stone one, or the Sorcerer's Stone, depending on which country you're in, where it's Christmas and Harry spends Christmas at Hogwarts, doesn't he? And Hedwig comes flying in and it's all snowy and that. And that looks really festive as well. And they've got the music playing. It's like a Christmas twist on the theme. Are they Christmas movies? No, of course they're not. Of course they're not Christmas movies. The whole film has got one Christmas scene in the middle of it. Very festive. You're right, Travis. Very festive. But they're not Christmas films. If you want to watch them at Christmas, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you. But that doesn't make them Christmas movies. Okay? I think a few of them were released at Christmas as well. Pretty sure the first one. No, is it the first one? One of them. Some of them. I don't know. Some of them released at Christmas. Doesn't make them Christmas films. They ain't Christmas films. The Harry Potter films are not. Actually, I take that back. There is one Harry Potter film that is a Christmas film. That's Harry Potter and the Christmas Party. It doesn't actually exist, I just made it up just then, but if it did exist, that would be a Christmas movie. But it doesn't exist, so it ain't a Christmas movie. There are no Christmas Harry Potter movies. You can tell that to your girlfriend. Have we settled that? Yes, I have. Thank you for your question, Travis. I'll be answering the other two in the next two episodes. But right now, we're going to have to move on, and we're going to do this.
I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So, boys and girls, I've been re-listening to the Merry Britsmas podcast. I don't know if you listen to it. You should. It's fantastic. And it started in 2018. Now, the first year, he only had two episodes. And then the following year, 2019, there were four episodes. And then since then, he sort of increased it. So now it comes out every month. It's a blinding show. I highly recommend it to everyone. Like I said, I've been re-listening to it. And I was listening to the one just before Christmas in 2019. And what the host, Adam, does is he plays a lot of British Christmas music that's being released that year. And I was listening to it, and he played a song by Will Young. Now, if you're not in the UK, you might not be familiar with Will Young. He was the first winner of the TV show Pop Idol. Now, if you're in a different country to the UK, we called it Pop Idol, but like, if it's in a different country, it has the name of the country and then Idol. For example, American Idol, or Australian Idol, or, well, any country Idol. It's as simple as that, yeah? And back in 2002, Will Young was the first winner, and he released his winner's single, and I think it was, and it might still be, the best-selling song of the 21st century in the UK so far. Yeah, definitely physical sales. It might have been overtaken by downloads now, or streaming. I don't know how they record it these days. But yeah, in physical sales, that is the best-selling song of the 21st century. So he released that song, massive hit. Then he had another two number ones. Then he had a top five. Then he had another number one, which was a fantastic song. It was called Leave Right Now. I'll play a little bit of it because you might know this one. Lovely song.
I think I better leave right now before I fall any deeper. I think I better leave right now. Feeling weaker and weaker. Somebody better show me out before I fall any deeper.
I really like that song, and it's got a fantastic video as well. And that song was released just before Christmas, but never got to be the Christmas number one. Now when Pop Idol came out, they'd released their single. I think his came out, the first one came out in sort of springtime. But then Pop Idol was replaced by The X Factor, and they'd always released their single just before Christmas, so it got to be the Christmas number one, and it sort of like ruled the charts for quite a while. But sadly, Will Young never had a Christmas number one. After he was in Pop Idol, they had this TV show called World Idol, and it was like all the winners of the different versions of Pop Idol around the world. They competed to see who was the best, and the guy that won, I forget his name, I think he was Danish or Norwegian, short guy, blonde hair, he had a lovely voice, he won. And then Kelly Clarkson came second, and Will Young came fifth in that one. Anyway, that's by the by. He had a Christmas song that came out in 2019. Now, I wasn't aware of this, and the only time I would have been aware of it was when I listened to Merry Britsmas the first time, which would have been a few years ago. Now I'm re-listening to it, and it reminded me of it, and I thought, do you know what? Why don't I have a listen to that song? Because he only played a snippet of it, and it is a lovely song. It's got a really festive feel to it. It's just a lovely, pleasant song. Here's the thing. I listened to it twice, and the next day, I was thinking about it. I could not remember anything about the song. I knew its title, but I couldn't remember how it went at all. No, so it hasn't got any major hooks, it doesn't seem to. Well, let me play a bit for you. You can have a listen.
The snow has fallen. My wounds have gone. These icy rivers have brought a song. The birds have flown and left me here. A new beginning and a crisp white tee.
So it's a lovely song, as you can tell, but I can't imagine like a bunch of people like belting that out in a pub at Christmas Eve. But I think it'd be ideal if you sat there watching your Yule log, possibly Let There Be Carnage Yule log, we'll get to that later. Yeah, you could have your Yule log playing, and you could play that in the background as part of your playlist. It's a nice mellow Christmassy song.
Christmas.
Now, I think the song was written by Will Young himself. I've had a bit of research in it, but I couldn't find out all the details. But that's what it appears, that it was definitely sung by him. I'll give you that. But it looked like it was written by him. There's not much else more I can say about the song itself, but I wanted to talk about the video, because it's quite an interesting one. He stood there, it's all a black background, and the shot is just of his head and his shoulders. He's dressed in black, like wearing a black shirt, and it looks like he's got black braces on as well. And the camera is like filming his face, and it just, he stands still, and the camera sort of moves around, so it goes around the back of his head and then comes back to the front of him. Then when it moves back, it sort of pans back in time for the chorus to kick in, and you see that he stood there wearing a Christmas pudding costume, and the braces are actually holding the costume up. So it's like round his waist and lower chest, he's got a great big Christmas pudding, and he just carries on singing. And then it cuts, and he's got a Christmas cracker that he's in the middle of, same sort of suit, and also a Christmas present, like a wrapped up box around him as well. That's the third one. Yeah, and then he just carries on singing the song. I've got a feeling it starts snowing at the end as well. Not 100% sure about that. I think it does. Or does it start snowing all the way through? Anyway, I had a look into it, and on Wikipedia, in his discography, it's just listed as a promotional single. I don't know what that means. It's not listed as one of his normal singles, it's a promotional single. So does that mean it was only available to, I don't know, people in his fan club? Or was it released as a normal single? I can tell you this, sadly, it didn't chart. It didn't even make it into like the top, how did they, top 100 I think they checked. It didn't even make it into there, which is a real shame, because like I said, lovely song, but you know, it doesn't really go anywhere. Now, Will Young, his career is still pretty decent. I mean, the early days, he was selling loads of singles, always having top 10 singles. Then they sort of became top 20 singles and then top 40 singles. But his album sales have always been good, and he's still a very popular artist. But yeah, sadly, his Christmas song didn't really cut it. That's all I've got to say about it. But if you want to check it out, go and look for it. It's just Will Young, Christmas time. Yeah, have a look at the video. Or don't, you know. As I always say, it's your life. Do what you want. Merry Christmas.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
We have our own motto at the Tiki Bar. For in wine, there is wisdom. In beer, there is freedom. And in water, there is bacteria. Now, I was listening to my favorite English Christmas podcast the other day. No, not Merry Britsmas. The other one, you know, with the funny guy. He was talking about a British show called The Furchester Hotel. I am sure that this is a classic masterpiece theater type presentation. You know, with the royals upstairs and all the salacious goings on with the domestic help downstairs. But anyway, there was a clear, do you hear what I hear moment. Even the host noticed it when the American character known as the Cookie Monster was introduced to his UK cousin, and his name was the Biscuit Monster. Now, I'm sure all of you are scratching your heads and wondering, why two different names for these related characters? Well, it's because what the Brits consider a biscuit is what we Yanks call a cookie. Why this is the case is quite a colorful story, with a lot of texture, no pun intended. But it does involve slaves, the Crusades, and the British Royal Navy. It's a long one, so belt yourselves in. And I know, a bit crazy. First we had Nazis and discos, and now biscuits and slaves. Going back to the Romans, biscuits at first were hard, dry, and unsweetened, so they would last longer without spoiling. The word biscuit itself originates from the medieval Latin word biscotus, meaning twice cooked. These biscuits were then introduced as rations for sailors in the British Royal Navy in 1588. They were called hardtack and made with flour, water, and salt. Plus, they were baked four times just to stay dry for the journey. If properly stored, these could last for years without spoiling. But on land, things were slowly starting to change. After the Crusades, the spice trade spread through Europe. The ingredients of Arabia were being introduced, so some biscuits were now being made from a sweetened, spiced paste. And this is the origin of gingerbread. See, I haven't forgotten that this is a Christmas podcast. Also, prior to the 17th century, sugar was very expensive in England. It was eaten only by the rich. However, once the plantation system in the West Indies and America was established using slaves, the price of sugar fell in Britain. The foods which used sugar became cheaper and more accessible. As the supply of sugar increased, so did the ability to create sweet biscuits. And this type of biscuit grew, and more people started to consume them. They were crunchy, packed with fruits and nuts, and sweetened with sugar. At the same time, the dense, flavorless biscuits had also become established in the New World by the colonists. They were popular because they could be baked quickly and required few ingredients. But whereas the biscuits in England were getting sweeter, in the American South, they had access to a couple of advantages. They had fresh flour, buttermilk, lard, and slaves. To improve the texture and make these biscuits more edible, the dough in the United States was being beaten by hand by female slaves for over an hour to introduce air. So the U.S. biscuits, as opposed to being hard and sweet, were instead softer and flakier. In fact, after slavery ended, biscuits fell out of favor in the South for a time because without the free labor, the process was thought to be too labor intensive. They only became popular again with the advent of baking soda and baking powder. But it was really tea that cemented the difference on the two continents. When tea became part of the British social scene, biscuits were integral to the new ritual. Biscuits and tea have a strong identity in the British culture. They are the traditional accompaniment to a cup of tea, and some drinkers will dunk their biscuits, allowing them to absorb the liquid and soften before consumption. Thus, biscuits in the UK needed to be harder and sweeter to go along with the tea. And these included baked items such as chocolate biscuits, digestives, hobnobs, ginger nuts, rich tea, shortbread, bourbons, and custard creams. The irony is that the British meaning is at the root of the name of the United States' most prominent cookie maker, the National Biscuit Company, which is now called Nabisco. So, considering all of this, I think my wife is the living example of this joined "Do you hear what I hear?" description. She is absolutely a UK biscuit. Nice, sweet, and crunchy on the outside. But she also shares that US definition. You know, a bit light and flaky on the inside. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Goodness me, the research that boy does, eh? That was like a proper history lesson, wasn't it? Thank you for that, Bob. Great work. One thing I want to say, in the UK, we do refer to a certain type of biscuit as a cookie. So imagine your standard chocolate chip cookie. We call that a cookie, but it's still classed as a biscuit. So for example, you've got your custard creams, that's a biscuit, your bourbons, your digestives, your ginger nuts, your fig rolls. These are all biscuits. A cookie, that is classed as a biscuit, but we call it a cookie. Whereas, I guess in the States, they call all biscuits cookies. So yeah, there we go. Thanks very much for that, Bob. It'll be back again later on in the show. But right now, we're all going to do this.
What the dickens?
Goodness me, it's been a while since I've done one of these, isn't it, boys and girls? Yeah, and I'm sure you've all missed it. Now, this is actually a twist on my normal What the Dickens. If you remember, normally I look at a passage in the Christmas Carol and I explain what it means, because in modern day, we might not understand exactly what he's talking about. this one, I want to talk about Charles Dickens himself. Now, this is actually Christmas related, but it's not completely Christmas. But here's something you probably didn't know about Charles Dickens. He was a quite accomplished magician. That's right. Yeah, Charles Dickens got really into magic and became quite a good performer. And he performed at a lot of parties and for his kids' parties as well. The reason that I bring this up, A, it's very interesting, but B, one of his tricks was very Christmas related. His first performance was on New Year's Eve. I believe it was 1942, so this would be the year before A Christmas Carol came out. That was his first performance. Then he performed for his child's birthday on Epiphany, which is the 6th of January. Then he did a few shows throughout the year. And then on Boxing Day the following year, he did a show with a very festive Christmas trick. And I'm going to read out how the trick was described, because he did this show and he had a program, I guess, of all the tricks that he performed. And he performed under the name, are you ready, the Unparalleled Necromancer Rhea Rama Ruse. And this is the trick I want to describe. This was one of many, and it says, the company, having agreed among themselves to offer to the necromancer, by way of loan, the hat of any gentleman whose head has arrived at maturity of size. Yeah, that's what they're saying, is he's going to borrow a bloke's hat. The necromancer, without removing that hat for an instant from before the eyes of the delighted company, will light a fire in it, make a plum pudding in his magic saucepan, boil it over the said fire, produce it in 2 minutes, thoroughly done, cut it, and dispense it in portions to the whole company for their consumption then and there, returning the hat, at last, wholly uninjured by fire, to its lawful owner. Yeah, so what he did was he borrowed someone's hat, started a fire in it, then he got out his magic saucepan, made a pudding appear in the saucepan, cooked it over the fire, and then served it. Yeah. And then gave the hat back. The hat is in perfect condition. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't quite know how he did it. But isn't that something? Yeah. And it ties in with the old Christmas Carol. And if I've got the timings right, that would have been the Boxing Day just after A Christmas Carol came out, which, as we all know, has a wonderful scene based around Christmas puddings. So, yeah, I'm not 100% sure about the years there, because the articles I read, none of them sort of seem to add up definitely what year it was, but it sort of talked about what sort of years he got into being into magic. Anyway, that is this episode's version of What the Dickens, something you might not have known about good old Charlie. Now let's get on and we'll do this. Here it is, the highlight of the whole episode. Yes, it's my Christmas joke. Hold on to your buttocks, boys and girls, because this one is a blinder. How do snowmen get their information? From the winternet. Oh. There was an episode, like last year sometime, where I completely forgot to do the joke. That was a good episode.
Yule lugs, you'll love 'em, I'll love 'em, we'll love 'em, we all love the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, the Yule lugs, those Yule lugs, yeah!
Here's another segment I haven't done in a long time, but I remember Travis was a fan, so I thought I'd bring it out again. And this episode, we are talking about the Venom Let There Be Carnage Christmas Yule log. And can I start by saying, I watched Venom Let There Be Carnage with the wife about a month ago, and it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. And this film cost millions of dollars to make. Millions. Over 100 million, probably. I haven't checked the budget, but millions of dollars to make. And it was rubbish. Absolute trolley. And I am a big fan of superhero films, or at least I used to be. I don't know if it's superhero fatigue, or I think it's just bad superhero movie fatigue, because superhero movies, I used to love them, like the original Spider-Man trilogy, the first Batman films, the first two of those, fantastic. Superman from the 70s, I loved all them. I liked the first Iron Man, I liked the first Captain America. I liked a lot of films. These days, a lot of them are trolley, and this one was proper trolley. Me and the wife were halfway through, we're like, are we going to carry on watching this? We did, but we didn't enjoy it. Yeah. Anyway, that's the film, Venom, Let There Be Carnage. That is not this week's recommendation. Did you get that? So if you've got 10 hours you want to spend watching a Yule log, then this is the one for you. Or not. It's terrible. So I'll describe what you're looking at. You've got the fireplace, and that's pretty much it. It looks like it's in an apartment building, because you can see sort of out of the windows. It looks like you're quite high up. And yeah, you're looking at the, pretty much it's mainly just the fireplace and surround, and then a couple of windows to the side, and that's it. So it's not like one where you get the whole room. And it's quite funny, you've got two stockings hanging from the mantelpiece, and one of them says Venom on it, and it's like stuffed with what looks like a maybe a computer game and a bar of chocolate, and the other one says Eddie, which is Eddie Brock, Venom's sort of human alter ego, and that's just a tiny little ankle sock, a dirty one at that, and it's just got a little candy cane sticking out of it. There's a sign hanging next to the fireplace, and it says rules, no eating, and it has people, but that's crossed out, and it says Santa underneath it. And there's a few fairy lights going around the fireplace, and also a picture of Michelle Williams's character, who I can't remember her name. She's there on top of the mantelpiece, and that's it. You've got the fire burning away, and it, like I say, it runs for 10 hours. Now the whole thing, I'm pretty sure, is computer generated, and it does repeat itself after 5 hours. So there's every maybe 20 minutes, every 30 minutes, there's something interesting happens. When I say interesting, ain't that interesting, but something happens, and then after 5 hours it repeats all those again until the end. And it starts off with this little message:
what a nice way to end the year, Eddie.
And there's no music in the background, so if you want to put a bit of Will Young on in the background to listen to that while you're watching the Yule log for 10 hours, you could do that. Nice idea. It's just the sounds of the crackling fire, and then stuff happens. So shall I describe some of them? Okay, it starts snowing outside at one point, so like the window gets closed. You hear Venom saying some stuff in the background about Christmas.
As the lethal protector, we get two gifts. Right, Eddie?
You do not deserve nice things.
There's a bit where some Christmas baubles just come rolling across the floor. There's another bit for some reason where a tire wrapped in fairy lights just sort of comes down from the ceiling and is just hanging there, and then that disappears halfway through, and then it comes back again when they repeat that bit near the end of the 10 hours. 10 hours! Now, I've had a look at this. It's had 84,000 views, but here's the question. Do you think any of them had it on for the full 10 hours? Now, somebody has definitely fast-forwarded it or skipped through or done something, because they've put a list of all the timestamps of when something happens. So, yeah, there's about 15 different things that happen in the first 5 hours, and then those 15 things are repeated after that. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I don't want to tell you all the stuff. I'll play a couple of things he says. Here you go, here's one.
Time to unleash carnage this holiday season.
That's something, isn't it? Here's another one.
Jingle bells, Eddie smells, my chickens laid some eggs.
There you go. And there's another bit which says, oh, Eddie, throw a log on the fire. And this log sort of comes flying in from behind where the camera would be into the fire. But as it gets closer, it sort of diminishes in size until it actually disappears when it hits the fire. So it doesn't affect the fire in any way. It just sort of, yeah, that happens. And then it ends. Yeah. So 10 hours I spent watching that. That's not true. I probably spent less than 15 minutes watching it. I skipped through using the timestamps that were on there. If you want to watch it, then I'm not going to like stop you. I'm not going to physically hold you down, but I don't know why you would. There's plenty of better ones out there. I like the ones that are actually filmed, you know, rather than it just being computer generated. And I like the ones where you actually see the logs burning down, so they're actually getting smaller. I really like that, rather than it just be on a loop of like 20 seconds or something. Anyway, this one doesn't do that. This is just the fire burning constantly, the same logs, for 10 hours. 10 hours. Yeah. Well, that was this episode's Yule log. If you, like I said, if you want to check it out, do so. If you don't, don't so. Now we're going to move on and do this.
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Bob is back, boys and girls. Yes, and can I just say, Bob, you're looking great as ever.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
If you are looking for a new way to interpret Christmas music at any time of the year, but with an intense twist, there are dozens of Christmas cardio playlists on Spotify or Apple Music. Is there a better way to get the blood pumping and the heart beating than with a 10-minute extended remix of your favorite holiday tune? Scary. This is so perfect for Christmas every day in October. You might start something like the Bing CrossFit, the Brenda Leap, the Elvis Bench Presley, and even the Jose Felicia Aerobics. Too spooky for me. If you have a Christmas concept that you'd like to exercise, you work it out with Jack. He'll run me through the drill, and we'll train you all next time.
That's great, isn't it? Bing CrossFit. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You know, that is something I would actually do. I would use this revved up Christmas music to get me going in the gym. The only thing is, I don't go to the gym. Yeah, not that I'm lazy. You know, I'm a gardener, so I don't really need the gym. I sort of keep active that way. Keeps me fit and healthy. But great idea, Bob. One thing I want to say, I always talk about Bob's podcast. That is the Festive Foreign Film Fans. If you're not listening to it, check it out. It's so cool. Every episode, they talk about a foreign Christmas film that you might not be aware of. And in the latest episode, they talked about a film from the Czech Republic. And in my last episode, I was talking about Christmas in the Czech Republic. Remember that? Yeah. And we didn't confer about this. It was just simpatico. That's how we work. Me and Bob are in simpatico. Not quite sure what simpatico means, but it sort of sounds apt for what we're discussing. Yeah. And every episode, he talks about the film, and then he'll talk about Christmas in that country and play a couple of Christmas songs from that country. And luckily, when he talked about Christmas in the Czech Republic, there was no crossover between the stuff I talked about as well. So it sort of went hand in hand. So, yeah, definitely check out that episode because it was a blinder. Do you know, the funny thing is, out of all the films he's talked about, I've only seen one of them, but I still love listening to the show. And I might get off my backside and watch some of those films nearer to Christmas. I might not. We'll see what happens. Anyway, check out Bob's podcast, Festive Foreign Film Fans. It comes out every 2 weeks, and I know you'll enjoy it. Thanks again, Bob. You're beautiful. Let's move on and do this.
This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz.
Hey, here it is, boys and girls. The highlight of your fortnight. Yes, it's the Christmas quiz. Now, if you don't know how quizzes work, it's very simple. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You are going to write down 10 answers or think about the 10 answers. And then I'm going to tell you the answers to those questions. If your answer matches my answer, then you got it right. If it doesn't, I'm sorry to say you got it wrong. But that's okay. You're still very lovely. And at the end, we count out how many of your answers match the correct answers and you find out what your score was. Very simple, really. Yeah. So, question number one. Now, I won't lie to you, I don't expect any of you to get this unless you live in the UK. But I wanted to add it because it's a Christmas institution in the UK. It really is. So, the last edition before Christmas of which long-running BBC children's TV programme traditionally opens with the lighting of the final of the Advent crown candles, which used to be real but are now electric. What? I didn't read that before. They're now... What is that? Oh my giddy days. Right, let me just explain this to you. So you've got this show. I think it runs 2 or 3 times a week, is it? I forget what days it was on children's television. And it's this... They call it a crown. It's sort of like a hanging thing. I'm pretty sure that they used to teach you how to make it every Christmas. And you make it out of like 2 wire coat hangers that you've sort of twisted together somehow and then wrap tinsel around them. And then they put 4 candles on them. So they light 1 candle in the 4 episodes leading up to Christmas. I think it's, or it might have been like the 4 weeks. So like the first episode of the week leading up to Christmas. And yeah, and then they'd light one of the candles with like a taper. Well, now they're doing it with electric. How are they doing that? They like flick a switch on it. I can't believe that. That has stolen my childhood. Oh my goodness. Right, what's that TV show anyway? If you live in the UK, you should get it. If you don't live in the UK, well, let's move on to the next question, shall we? Question number two. Up to the year 2020, there have been 7 official Christmas number one singles in the UK recorded by winners of what ITV show? What show is that? Now, I'll give you a clue, kids. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Yeah, that should help you. Question number three. Which group had the 1974 Christmas number one single with the song Lonely This Christmas? Goes like this.
It'll be lonely this Christmas without you to hold. It'll be lonely.
Yeah, that song, are you ready, was at number one when I was born. Yeah, that's true. Fact. Look it up. You don't need to. I just told you. Yeah, what band sung that song? Question number something. What's This and Sally's Song are two of the songs on the soundtrack of which 1993 animated film written and produced by Tim Burton. There we go. That's a bit easier, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you get a snippet of that at the start of the show, don't you? Next one. In which 1968 novel did author Louisa May Alcott write, "The rooms were very still while the pages were softly turned and the winter sunshine crept in to touch the bright heads and serious faces with a Christmas greeting"? What book's that out of? Yeah, I think you'll get that. Next one. What is the traditional cake-like sugar-coated fruit bread eaten at Christmas time in Germany? Tell me. Tell me now. What is that cake or bread or whatever it is? Question number, the song A Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues, you must know that one. It was Christmas Eve, babe, and the drunk tank, an old man said to me. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, that's all you're getting. Yeah, featuring Kirsty MacColl, has only ever reached number one in a singles chart in one country. Which European country is it? Yeah? Okay. Next one. I think this is what we had to. Oh, number eight. This is. Complete the title of the 2013 children's TV program Postman Pat and the Christmas Panto blank. What is that blank? Answer it. You will score a point. If you get it right. If you get it wrong, you don't get nothing. Question number nine. Which 2015 Netflix film stars Bill Murray as himself, in which he worries that no one will turn up to appear on his live Christmas TV special due to a snowstorm? Yeah, what's that one? And the last one, the 2010 episode of which preschool children's TV series is entitled Mr. Potato's Christmas Show? This is a very popular show throughout the world. It is a British show, but it is popular, like I say, throughout the world. So you might get it, you might not. We'll find out, won't we? Have a guess. Right, here come your answers. Question number one. The last edition before Christmas of which long-running BBC children's TV programme traditionally opens with the lighting of the final of the Advent crown candles, which used to be real, but, and I can't believe that, but are now electric. I wonder what year that changed. That was the day the magic died, that was. Goodness me. Good job I don't watch it anymore. I haven't watched that show in years. When I was a kid, I watched it, because we'd always stick to BBC, because you had, like, children's TV was on BBC and ITV, before, like, all the satellite TV and stuff like that. But we just tend to watch BBC most of the time. Anyway, it's called Blue Peter. Yeah, there you go. It's been, do you know, that show has been running for long before I was born. It's been going, like, over 60 years, I think. Yeah, anyway. Next one. Oh, this is the one about... What single was number one when Jack was born? Actually, that's not it, sorry. Which group had the 1974 Christmas number one single with the song Lonely This Christmas? The band was called Mud. Yeah, they had a couple of number ones. Very popular, part of the sort of glam rock thing they were. Question number whatever. What's This and Sally's Song are two of the songs on the soundtrack of which 1993 animated film written and produced by Timothy Burton? That is, of course, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Of course it is. And the next one. In which 1868 novel did author Louisa May Alcott write, "The rooms were very still while the pages were softly turned and the winter sunshine crept in to touch the bright heads and serious faces with a Christmas greeting"? Yeah, that's part of the big Christmas scene in Little Women, of course. I think if you knew Louisa May Alcott, you're pretty much there, aren't you, with that one. Next one. What is the traditional cake-like sugar-coated fruit bread eaten at Christmas time in Germany? That is Stollen. Now, do you want to hear the fantastic joke about that? Why was the German man upset about his Christmas cake? Because it was Stollen. Stolen. Get it? Yeah. That's almost as good as my Winternet joke earlier, wasn't it? Right, next one. The song A Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues, featuring Kirsty MacColl, has only ever reached number one in a singles chart in one country. Which European country is it? Well, they're an Irish band, aren't they, the Pogues? And of course it was Ireland. Yeah, the Republic of Ireland. I got that, I guessed it. I didn't know it for definite, but I guessed it. Very proud of myself. Next one, I guessed this one as well, and I got it right. Yep, I'm very proud. Complete the title of the 2013 children's TV programme Postman Pat and the Christmas Panto What? It was a panto horse. Now, I'm sure you're all familiar with the panto horse. A lot of pantomimes have them, where it's like one bloke standing up at the front, he's the front legs and the head, and then the other person is sort of like behind him, bent over, holding his mate around the waist. He's like the backside, and they're the two parts of the Christmas panto horse. Yeah. I kept that one in because I'm pretty sure Postman Pat was a popular show throughout the world. I could be wrong. You might be there going, who's Postman Pat? Well, he's a very popular show. That's been going for a long time. It was like 2013, that episode. I don't know if they're still making it, but I can tell you now that that was on when I was at school, like when I was a very young kid. My little brother, he used to love it when he was before we started school. So we're talking, what, over 40-odd years that's been going as well. Right, well, question number 9 now. Which 2015 Netflix film stars Bill Murray as himself, in which he worries that no one will turn up to appear on his live Christmas TV special due to a snowstorm? That is, of course, A Very Murray Christmas. Now, I was really looking forward to that coming out, and then it came out and I watched it. Didn't really care for it that much. Thought it was a bit naff. But then I watched it a couple of years later again, and I actually enjoyed it the second time, I think because my expectations were gone. Yeah, I thought it was all right the second time around. So, you know, that's something. And the last one, the 2010 episode of which preschool children's TV series is entitled Mr. Potato's Christmas Show, that was, of course, Peppa Pig. Now, I know Peppa Pig is popular all over the globe, and I actually played a snippet of that episode. You know, after the show ends, and then the music runs out, and then I play like a snippet from a movie or something. Well, yeah, one episode, I played a snippet from that Christmas episode of Peppa Pig. Yeah, long time ago, but it happened. Yeah, that was your 10 questions. Do you want to know what I scored? I got all 10. Yep, I had to guess a couple of them. A few of them I already knew. So I'm very proud of myself. I hope you did well too. If you didn't, you're still beautiful. So, you know, don't let that upset you. That's the quiz. Now let's move on and do this. This episode's recommendation is a podcast called The Past and the Curious. Now, it bills itself as a show for kids and families, but to be honest, I think anyone would enjoy it. I'm going to read out the blurb, what it says on iTunes for you. A history podcast for kids. Parents love us, teachers love us, and most importantly, kids do too. History can be amazing, inspiring, and relevant to anyone. We love to share the stories of spies, funny foods, George Washington's foibles, early advancements in cartooning and ballooning, and much more. Yeah, and I think it's brilliant. I really love it. I've been listening to the episodes this last week, and most episodes, about half an hour, just over, and they tell like a story from history. Then they have a little quiz in the middle with like 3 or 4 questions. I have 10 questions. They only have 3, but you know, they're trying. And then they do another story, and then they end it with a song. Often it's a song from the Great American Songbook, but it could also be a song written just for this show. And like I said, it's really entertaining and also really interesting. I feel myself getting smarter and smarter every time I listen to it. It's presented by Mick Sullivan, but he gets other people on there to read out the stories, and it's very, very good. There you go. And that is it for this episode. I've really had to rush through it because, like I said at the start, this is the third time I've recorded it. I hope I saved this one okay. I've got to get it all edited and out in, like, I don't know, not long. I'll tell you that. I'm cutting this one very fine, so hopefully you'll get it on time. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Hopefully, I will have done a better job of it then. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch, email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com, or if you want to go on the website, that's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again, like I said, in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
Would you do it? Would you be our Santa Claus?
Me?
Well, do you have any experience?
Oh, just a little.